Yeah, no, I think that's perfect. I mean, like, literally, even today is a perfect example, right? You mentioned hockey. So my boy, Zach, is, well, almost six now, but he's been playing, and they have a session during the day called Stick and Puck where you can mm-hmm. just go to the rink and, you know, for the kids, they need their full equipment, but I can just show up with my gloves and a helmet and so forth. And but it's at 2:45, which is, you know, most people are working.
Right.
Right. But, you know, Zach absolutely loves it. And so at least once a week, we'll go to the Stick and Puck session. I think we're going to take them today, awesome. Which is during the day. And there's, like, you know, five people there instead of 30 people normally or 25 people on a weekend or something like that. And it's and you know, I can really see where it makes a difference because I've started doing this thing where I ask him every single night before bed. I'm like, what's your three favorite things from the day, just to build up his confidence and, you know, get him thinking about the positive things that happen. And every time we do it, and he's always saying, you know, hockey, Stick and Puck, or whatever we did together, even if it was like playing street hockey outside for a half hour.
Interesting.
And so it makes a big difference.
It does. And interesting, I actually play a similar game. I call it the gratitude game. And instead of asking what his three favorite things are, I say, what three things are you grateful for?
Yeah.
That happened during the day, you know, and grateful for my family, or grateful for this that happened at school, or et cetera. It's a similar.
Yeah, that's a great game. I don't know if he can understand the concept of grateful yet, but it makes total sense. And that's what we're trying to get him to do and think about. Is that,
that's awesome.
That confidence booster, the, you know, appreciating what you have kind of thing. And it's great. It's a great little thing to do for sure every night. Okay. Well, anything else on lifestyle that would make sense, or stuff that you've learned along the way?
You know, it's just the simple things in life that make the most difference in your happiness. And so for me, it's my family. For maybe for other people, it might be, you know, owning an exotic car or you know, living the jet setting life and, you know, going to Vegas. Everyone's different, but for me, it's just it's a conscious choice of saying how do you want to spend your time, and then creating that life, and so I'm, you know, I'm really just at peace and happy with the, you know, the ability to spend my time with my family, and, you know, I have, you know, I enjoy surfing, and I've got my own interests as well that I, you know, I'm able to pursue. You know,
yeah, you know, next Baja trip, we're gonna stop at a couple surf spots.
sounds enticing.
Yeah, we might have to get you back on there. All right, so let's talk about the you know, last part, which is the giving back, or the giving more, or giving forward. And I know you're a big proponent of this, and that was one of the things that, you know, I think really drew you to what we're doing with the Maverick group, because you've been volunteering at different, I think, high schools or with the urban inner city kids and so forth. What's your take on that, Drew?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. It's evolved over the years. I mean, I come from a family of philanthropists. I grew up, you know, standing out in the streets collecting, you know, cans of food outside in supermarkets for the West Side Campaign Against Hunger in New York. My mom's really involved in philanthropy, and so I believe in giving back. But there's different ways to give. You can give your money. You can give your time. And ultimately, I've sort of done all the above. I do give, you know, I donate a bunch of money to charity. I have donated my time and energy to organizations like NIFTY, which you mentioned, which is teaches you know, underprivileged and at-risk kids about entrepreneurship.
Right.
And that was more of my time rather than my money, you know, going down to Compton and volunteering at schools to teach kids about how to start your own business and help them write their own business plans. And that was kind of cool. And but one of the things that I you know, I've come to realize is that you know, I just enjoy helping people, and I kind of live by sort of that Zig Ziglar quote, you know, you can have everything you want in life if you just help enough other people to get what they want. And mm-hmm. so I'm, you know, I almost never say no. I'm sort of like that movie Yes Man. You know, if people ask me for help or advice, I'm always willing and able and, you know, to give it. And I'm actually surprised at how few people ever ask for help. But I feel like every day in my business and in my personal life, I'm constantly offering advice and helping people. My job is to help people scale and grow their businesses, which, you know, is giving in a way. It's helping them and their employees and everybody improve their lives. And so I kind of look at it is not so much as I have to be a, you know, a non-profit philanthropist, you know, in and of itself, but that just in every way, every day, I'm trying to give what I have to share and to help people, and I can feel good about it, whether it's giving my, you know, my kid advice, or it's giving a client advice, or it's giving a friend advice about how to, you know, start an internet business or something like that. That to me, that's part of my giving portfolio. And as long as I'm giving and helping in some way, whether it's my money or my time or you know, advice, that you know, I can feel good about what I'm doing, and it's not just selfish and all about me and all about money. It's I'm an open book, and I'm happy to share.
That's awesome. Yeah, no, that's great. That's a great just way of looking at it. It's not just that you have to give the money or you have to do one thing or another, but it's almost in kind of is part of your everyday life.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I was also, you know, I saw Richard Branson speak at one of Joe Polish's events, and someone had got up and asked about, you know, saying, hey, he really wanted to give and make a difference, but he didn't, you know, he wasn't making a lot of money, and he sees how Branson gives in such a big way. You know, what was Branson's advice? And Branson said, you know what, your extra $50 a month isn't going to, you know, not that you shouldn't give, but, you know, giving money, in a small way, you know, isn't necessarily going to have a huge impact. If your goal is to have a huge impact, then go out and, you know, build a successful business, make lots of money, and then when you've got lots of money, you know, do something big, you know, a couple of years from now. And I thought that was interesting. You know, not that you should postpone giving, but that there's different ways of giving, and if it's money that you want to give and you don't have money, then maybe, you know, you give it another way. And so for me, it took a little pressure off me. Like, I don't need to donate gazillions of dollars a year. I just need to give, you know, what I have to give. And that can be money, that can be time, that can be, you know, it's just sort of an approach to life of just being a giving person. And it always comes back. It's kind of like a karma thing. You know, the more you give, the more you get back in return. And I also learned something from Evan Pagan many years ago, because some people feel like, you know, if you give, you got to get back. What are you getting for it? And Evan's sort of feeling was that, you know, if you give freely to 10 people, you should always give more than you ever ask for in return, and that you may give to 10 people, and maybe 7 will reciprocate, but 3 will completely take advantage and take from you and not give back. And that's okay, because it's just sort of part of the formula that not everyone's going to reciprocate. But ultimately, if you're a giver, you know, it's going to come back to you directly or indirectly, and you're going to have that reputation for being a giver, and it will, you know, help you. It'll be part of your success formula. And so I kind of agree that it's just, I give not expecting, and, you know, with one caveat. One of the things that I hate most is when you give a lot of time and energy to someone and they don't implement or execute what you share, your advice, and so, there's nothing worse than someone taking a lot of your time and then not even doing anything with it. So I definitely like to, you know, to give to people who I believe are sincere and really want to learn and take advantage of what you have to share. So
yeah, that makes perfect sense, and that's great. And it's one of those things where if you're not always looking for that one for one sort of scoreboard. It makes it a lot easier to separate.
Yeah, because it really does come back. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've helped someone and then they've disappeared for a year or two, but then, you know, a year later they come back or they refer someone to you, or, you know, you end up getting some business from it. And even if you don't, I don't give to get, but it just, you know, by the nature of the laws of nature, you know, when you give, it just seems to come back. So,
yeah, and like you said, you know, the giving can be in so many different ways. I mean, you know, one of the things that sort of sparked for me is the thing that I typically always do is sort of open up my Rolodex. I have a lot of different people that I know in a lot of different ways, and you're the same way. I mean, you're a connector in so many different industries and so forth. And even that simple part, it kind of ties you in as that middle person, and then it's always about, hey, you know, isn't Drew such a great guy? And then it starts that conversation, and it's like almost you're like they're thinking about you in a different way because you're the connection point. And
yeah, I hate to refer to Evan again, but he's definitely one of my, you know, biggest influences and mentors. Is he has a concept, I think he calls it, be the hub.
Yeah.
You know, if you're the hub, you know, people always rely on you, then or come to you because you're the information source that ultimately it you know, when you're the hub, it benefits you. And so making it, you know, thinking of yourself as a connector and the hub, and when people ask for advice or referrals or recommendations, if you're always willing and able to connect them, help them, be the hub, you end up sort of being the go-to guy, and again, directly or indirectly, it comes back to you. So,
yeah, and I kind of stumbled onto that when we first started doing kind of our underground seminars, is that sort of became the hub and the spot for internet marketers to connect, and then it was just something that I naturally did anyway, and it just you know turned out more beneficial than I could have ever imagined, just from the offshoots and the byproducts that come from that sort of thing.
That's exactly it. You stepped up, raised your hand, said I'm going to create this event, you know, and you become the hub. Your event is, you know, is still my favorite internet marketing event of any event that I go to on a yearly basis. It's the best people. It's the best information. It's the least heavy pitch. It's just a real, genuine, great place for smart, successful people to meet. And so when I and other people go to this event and have a great experience every year, who benefits? Well, Yannick is the hub. Yannick created it. Yannick's the king, the castle. And so all that good energy and all that success and everything that everyone does when they go there, ultimately reflects on you because you created it and continue to have the event. So yeah,
it's like one of those byproducts that I never even thought about when I was creating. I'm like, well, let's put on a really great event, and that's what happens. And I think people can take that concept and apply it in their own world too, in a giving fashion and becoming that hub. And even putting on networking or social events that Maverick is a perfect example of that too, right? We bring together these really incredible entrepreneurs, and that becomes another hub, and it's just
you're absolutely right. And in fact, creating that's something that someone who's listening to this or reading this interview can do in their local area is just to create a mastermind group. Just say, whether it's at their house or at a restaurant or wherever it is, that they just step up, become the hub, and say, hey, we're having an event for people, and everybody comes and they have a great time, and who gets the benefit of that? They're the person who's the hub. So it's a great way to build connections and raise the bar for your career.
Yeah, raise your profile and become that connection point. All right, well, I think we covered a ton of stuff. Talk about who is your ideal client right now. So you got two main companies, the Rainmaker Advertising Ventures and Cranking Media, which is with Scott Rowick. What's a good client for you, and where can people get a hold of you?
So I think I mentioned before we started the call, but I started this new media buying agency with Scott Rowick, who's also a fellow Maverick and is known as the $100 million man. He's bought over $100 million with the media. Add my $50 million to that, and we've done about $150 million. And over the past 20 years, we've got quite a bit of advertising experience. So it's Cranking Media, not cranky. We're cranking up your campaigns, and that you can just go to crankingmedia.com and check out the. It's just a pretty simple website, but that's how you can get in touch with us. And we're looking for we're really not looking for a gazillion clients. We're looking for to work with a select few handpicked entrepreneurs that have really great products and have the desire to scale their business and have the tracking and the kind of product that's has the ability to scale on a mass market. I've had people come to throw money at us that maybe they don't have such great products or don't have the tracking in place. It's very hard to help people who who aren't committed to media, who don't have the right tracking, who don't understand, you know, the business models and the back-end funnels. But somebody who's truly gets direct response, wants to grow their businesses, has the tracking, you know, and understanding of their metrics in place, and has a general consumer kind of offer that can really scale in a big way. You know, we can help, and those are the kind of clients we're looking to work with. But again, we're not dying for new clients. We're on a one.
Yeah, you guys are very selective.
We went on a one-off basis. If something really great or interesting comes along, we're totally open to working with new people. But we're definitely not looking to spread ourselves too thin and have a gazillion clients. We just want to work with a select few very strong businesses and help them scale significantly.
Great. Awesome. Drew, I really appreciate it. Thank you, as always. Very insightful, and if people definitely should have gotten a ton of value out of this. I was taking a bunch of notes on especially the lateral and adjacent traffic marketing kind of idea. I mean, that right there is just killer, and I hope people apply it, and we'd love to hear what you do with it.
Awesome.
So, appreciate it.
My pleasure, and anything else, if there's any follow-up or anyone has any additional questions, forward them my way. I'll be happy to respond to anyone and help them out. All right. Thanks, Yannick.